You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony Paul Rudd is People Magazine's sexiest man alive. And Tony Kornheiser and I congratulate him. My reign had to come to an end someday, so
yes, I'm sure it did. You know, people still pay attention to those covers and those declarations, as silly as they may be or as irrelevant as they may be. Do you pay attention?
I wasn't aware of it, but I met Paul Rudd once. He's very funny.
Oh, yeah?
He's very funny in movies.
Okay.
Yeah, and he's a sports fan, too.
Okay,
Kansas City
good
Royals, I believe, and Kansas City Chiefs. Welcome to PTI, kids. In today's episode, Coach K gets a win, Aaron Rodgers gets fined, and Nikola Jokic gets suspended. But we begin today with the latest college football playoff rankings. Michigan State tumbled to 7, behind Michigan somehow. Oregon moved up to 3. Ohio State moved up to 4. Cincinnati moved up to 5. Wilbon, what is your primary takeaway from the new poll?
I have one takeaway. And you can say it's silly. You can say it's petty. You can say, come on, Mike, you got to have a bigger takeaway. My takeaway is, so Michigan State beat Michigan. We all saw it just a couple weeks ago. They each have one loss.
Yeah.
Okay? And so yet, after a head-to-head just a couple of weeks ago, this committee has a lot of smart people on it. I know half the people on a committee, at least in a passing way, to say hello if I saw them on the street, even with a mask. This committee's members said that they think that Michigan should be ranked ahead of Michigan State. That's their decision? As smart a group as that is? And this is just dumb. This is smart people doing a dumb thing collectively. Not everybody, I'm sure, voted that way. And I looked at it and I just said, you know what? I can't take any of this seriously. If you've got Michigan over Michigan State, I watched the game. I saw the game. What are you people doing? That's it. And the rest of it, I don't care where Cincinnati is. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't care. I mean, they don't tell me Michigan is ranked ahead of Michigan State.
Yeah. The show used to be a lot more fun when you cared than when you don't care. I agree with you about Michigan State. That's a head-to-head. The reason Oregon is ahead of Ohio State when they both have one loss is because Oregon beat Ohio State
head-to-head.
And I had the same reaction that, you know, these people must be on the moon. I don't understand this. But I also had another reaction, and that was that Cincinnati did very well. Cincinnati played very poorly when beating Tulsa, I believe. I believe in the last minute or 2 minutes of the game, Tulsa had like 8 shots inside the 5 and didn't score. They could have kept Cincinnati where they were. They could have dropped Cincinnati. But by moving Cincinnati up 1, because, Mike, I think there's only one team in the country that's going to get into the playoff with 2 losses, and that's Alabama, and they'd have to lose very, very, very close to Georgia in the SEC championship. Oregon's not getting in with 2 losses. Ohio State's not getting in with 2 losses.
Michigan State,
so Cincinnati, Cincinnati moves up a little bit. Cincinnati moves up in ways that help them. And if Notre Dame continues to win, and Notre Dame's next 3 games, I believe, are Virginia, Georgia Tech, and Stanford, and they should win them. Well, they should win them. That helps elevate Cincinnati as well. The team you have to worry about most if you're Cincinnati is Oklahoma. Oklahoma gets to play Baylor and gets to play Oklahoma State. These are ranked teams. If Oklahoma rolls through them and they're undefeated, they're going to get in at the expense of somebody, which may be Cincinnati.
You know, here's what we can count on in the 20 years of this show. We can count on you and other people who are really smart when analyzing college football, behaving like dopes, and coming on this show and every other show on the network and saying, if they run the table...
There's only 3 games left, Mike.
I mean, I don't care.
There's only 3 games left.
Everybody you've got winning is not going to win all the games. Come on. Come on.
I had 2 teams winning them all. But, yes, but there's only 3 games left. I'm not saying run the table after week 1. I'm not doing that.
No, you usually don't do that. I'll back off you there. We were off yesterday. I'm sure you played golf. Making way for opening day of college basketball.
Nice. Sweet.
Coach K got his final season off to a successful start, Tony. I'm sure you know that. beating Kentucky.
Yep.
Kansas rolled over Michigan State. Virginia lost to Navy. There's our reference to Annapolis. Chet Holmgren, mm-hmm. God, this kid is skinny, but he's good. Blocked 7 shots in his debut for Gonzaga, while fellow freshman Imani Bates had 17 in Memphis' win over Tennessee Tech. Wichita State guard Tyson Etienne, I love that name, drained a 31-footer for the Shockers, and they won. Tone, what opening day or night result was most interesting to you?
I got two, and the first one is Navy. Navy went down to Virginia and beat Virginia, a ranked team. I really like it if Navy or Army ever beat a big-time D1 team. The last time Navy did that was 1986 because they were ranked because they had David Robinson.
David Robinson,
so for
baby.
Me, for them to beat Virginia, for me, for them to win that game for Navy, that stood out for me, especially since, as I said, I played the Naval Academy golf course yesterday. The second thing was Mike Krzyzewski, Mike, beginning that long goodbye on getting out after this year. Mike Krzyzewski, by the end of this year, is going to hate this year so much because it's going to be gift after gift, rocking chairs and plaques and ovations and pictures. Oh, here's Mike at Clemson. Oh, here's Mike at Wake. And then there's going to be all the hugs from the other coaches, most of whom hate Mike Krzyzewski, and Krzyzewski hates all of them. And by the end of this year, the only guy who's going to go crazier than Krzyzewski is John Shire, because after every ceremony, he's going to say to somebody, are you sure he's getting out? Are you sure I'm going to have this job? Those are my two.
Let me just point out, you have Mike Krzyzewski hating people. Doesn't Mike Krzyzewski go to mass every morning? I think not every Sunday morning or every Saturday morning. I believe it's every morning for Mike Krzyzewski at mass. So he's not hating anybody. Let me just clear that up. Now, I'm going to tell you what stood out to me, because it's none of those things. And I don't care about the results. I don't care about the results. It's barely Halloween. I care about this kid, Paolo Banchero, 6'10" for Duke University, who I will take over, like, right now. It's one stupid snapshot. I know I am now about to indulge in the thing that I hate people doing, especially with football. I'm going to take one snapshot and say, give me that kid right now. This Banchero kid, Tony, and Duke has another kid, Trevor Keels, 6'5", 210. P.J. Tucker is the analogy that Uber producer Matt Kelleher drew.
Really?
I'm stealing it from him, but I'm crediting him. 6'5", 210.
Can I ask you a question,
points.
Mike?
Those two kids.
Question?
I love those two kids.
Right. So let me ask you this. Do you think Duke's going to run the table, Mike?
No.
You think they're going to do it? Run the table?
No, but I
How
like
about
those
the kid?
Two.
How about the kid at Gonzaga? Who weighs 135 pounds?
He's like a pipe
14
cleaner.
14 points, 13 rebounds, seven blocks, and 6 assists.
I'm going to say a name. You give me thumbs up or thumbs down. Sean Bradley.
Go ahead.
But like an evolved Sean Bradley.
Huh? Sean Bradley was 7'6".
I know, but this kid's not that. But you know, skill set.
Let's move on.
All right.
Oh, to be Pat McAfee. And have Aaron Rodgers on all the time. Yesterday, Rodgers conceded he may have misled people about his vaccination status. Rodgers said, quote, I made some comments that people might have felt were misleading, unquote. Oh, like you were immunized? Rodgers didn't apologize, but said he would take responsibility, and then he doubled down on not being vaccinated. Meanwhile, the NFL fined the Packers $300,000 and $14,500 each for Rodgers and Alan Lazard for breaking COVID protocols. Wilbon, are you good with Rodgers and these fines?
I don't care. I don't care. And that's my way of saying, I want to see Rodgers play. I want to see him play against Seattle. I don't care what he says, especially after last week. And that is not taking any kind of backhand shot at Rodgers or Pat McAfee. I'm not taking any shots, because this is what they should do. And Aaron Rodgers, I usually like when he talks. I not only like it, I hang on it, because you know, he is a smart guy. I mean, whatever happened last week, it happened last week. It seemed to happen in a vacuum. It seems to be an exception, because in whatever 13 years of hearing Aaron Rodgers talk, I liked hearing Aaron Rodgers talk, and now I don't care. I don't want to hear him. I just want to see him play. I don't want to hear him. This story has driven me to the edge, okay? I have Aaron Rodgers fatigue, and you'll say you don't, even though you do, and most of us have it. Just play the damn games.
Yeah. I think Aaron Rodgers can run the table. So I don't have any fatigue from him. The fines are meaningless. The only thing that's meaningful is a suspension. And you cannot suspend Aaron Rodgers if you haven't suspended other people, so you can't do that.
No, you can't.
What I found most interesting, I found interesting that Lazard and Rodgers got popped for going to a Halloween party. Apparently, if you are not vaccinated, you cannot go to a gathering. At a Halloween party, people dress up. And I wondered if Rodgers dressed up as a vaccinated football player, but I don't know. Nobody's told me that. I've read all the stories, Mike, about Rodgers' comments in the New York Times and the Washington Post, where doctors go point by point and they refute them. The smartest thing Aaron Rodgers has said in a week is this quote: "I'm an athlete, not an activist. I'm getting back to what I do best."
There you go. That's what I said.
His team around him, his crisis team, said, "That's what you should say," and they're right. Let's take a break. But coming up, who's got a brighter future on the mound? This kid, Clayton Kershaw, or this other kid, Justin Verlander?
And Frank Gore and Darren Williams agree to fight one another? I know these guys. What are we talking about? They're going to fight each other? Especially Darren Williams.
By the way,
I don't know what's going on.
Booger McFarland agrees with you that this will pass. That if Rodgers wins games,
Everything passes. You and your air conditioning and your heating problems and your humidifier problems, it all passes.
I got a humidifier.
Interruption is presented by Crown Royal. Take a water break. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Welcome back to Pardon the Interruption, presented by Crown Royal, part of Happy Hour.
It's time for toss-up. Two men enter, one man leaves, finishes the show, stares out into the post-time change darkness and contemplates how it mirrors the encroaching nighttime of one's own life. And then he watches some action. What's first? That's funny.
Toss up. More attractive pitching prospect, Clayton Kershaw or Justin Verlander?
I think it's Verlander. Verlander had Tommy John. Verlander is ready to go now. I know he's older than Kershaw, but he's got a new arm. He could go 3, 4, 5 more years because he's got a new arm. He just sort of auditioned the other day and 20 teams sent scouts to see him. Kershaw can't pitch right now. Kershaw's elbow hurts. Maybe it won't lead to Tommy John, but maybe it will. But in either case, you can't bank on Clayton Kershaw being ready to go, and you can with Verlander. I think it's great that the Dodgers said to Kershaw, if you want to come back, there's a spot for you. That's a direct quote. But what the spot might be would be going out in a bullpen to catch Verlander or Scherzer if they both sign with the Dodgers.
How about that? I know Verlander, first of all, Verlander and Kershaw, they're both going straight to the Hall of Fame. So, I mean, let's not get too crazy, and neither one of them is going to the breadlines. I'm going to say Verlander, even though he is 0-6 in World Series starts, Tony. Verlander is better in the postseason by a little bit, 14-11 with a 3-4-0. Kershaw, 13-12 with a 4-10. So I'm going to go Verlander postseason. But again, if you look at World Series, you go, oh, my God, first ballot Hall of Fame. How's he going to do that when he's 0-6 in the World Series? These are both great, great pitchers. It's difficult to be great, and it certainly is difficult to be that great in the postseason. And I hope Verlander, and I fully expect him to, come back and be, if not great, really, really good at least once, if not twice, Tony.
You can have all the statistics you want about the postseason. You got to get to the postseason.
That's
both
right.
Both those guys get
their teams to the postseason.
Horses. What's next?
Toss-up. Who you got in a fight? Frank Gore or Darren Williams?
So I need to explain this. They are actually going to box. It's not going to be kick fighting. It's going to be real boxing. It's going to be, let me get the number right, December 18th, and it's going to be in Tampa. Frank Gore, the football player, Darren Williams, the basketball player, played, I believe, 12 seasons in the NBA, and they both have boxing backgrounds. Frank Gore has trained with boxers and has boxed himself for a while. Darren Williams actually owns an MMA gym. My first thought on this was to pick Darren Williams because he's so much bigger. He's 6'3", and Frank Gore's only 5'9". But then I was told, Mike, they're going to fight at 215. If they're both going to fight at 215, there's only one guy in the world, 5'9", 215, who's a boxer, and that's Mike Tyson. And when you think that Frank Gore might look like Mike Tyson, I'm going to go with Frank Gore. I'm also going to say this. Because it's actual boxing, I want to see this. I do.
Listen,
I think it's legitimate.
They're not fighting either one. Neither one is fighting a real professional fighter. So I guess it's okay. I mean, I know Darren Williams for a long time. I don't even want to see him do this. It strikes me that almost any football player is just tougher because they are so used to hitting and getting hit. But I tell my friend Kendall Gill, Stephen A. and I tell Kendall Gill all the time, because he wants to fight or beat up one of the Paul brothers. It's not so secretly. I wish he would fight and beat up one of the Paul brothers. But I'm always saying, Kendall, don't do this. You're a basketball player. You were great at this. You played in the league for 15 years. Darren Williams played a long, long time. He's been an Olympian. Then why are you guys doing this? You're basketball players. Why do you need to fight? I mean, Kendall, stop. Stop. Wendy, talk your husband into not doing this. He wants to crush one of the Paul brothers.
Is one of the Paul brothers Chris Paul?
No, it's not Chris Paul.
Punched in the head by Kendall
Gill? No, it was Logan and that other one. I want to see Kendall knock the daylights out of one of them.
I shouldn't be encouraging this.
Stop. Don't do it.
Picks starting quarterback.
Yeah. Could the Yankees get Carlos Correa? Of course they could. The Yankees can get anybody they want. They got enough money. They buy people.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Pardon the Interruption is presented by Crown Royal. Take a water break. Stay hydrated. Stay royal. Drink responsibly. Part of Happy Hour.
Happy time, people. Happy 29th birthday, Teddy Bridgewater. He's the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos. Last year on this date, we said happy 24th birthday to Drew Locke, who was the starting quarterback for the Denver Broncos then. Small world, huh? Bridgewater went 3-0 out of the gate this year as the Broncos beat the Jets, Giants, and Jaguars, the dregs of the league. Bridgewater then went 0-4 after that hot start, and now he's hot again. The Broncos have beaten Washington and Dallas in their last two starts, sending the Broncos on their way to being champions of the NFC East. Denver is Bridgewater's third team in 3 years. He's 31-27 as a starter in the NFL, which is pretty good, but my guess is Bridgewater is following the Ryan Fitzpatrick career path, and he will be starting on a fourth team next year.
It was pretty darn good in relief of Drew Brees in New Orleans. What was it, last year or the year before? He was like undefeated. I mean, when he played with a really good team, he was really good. I like the nickname Teddy Two Gloves. I don't even know how unique that is anymore. Seems like everybody wears gloves now in football. When you and I were coming up, Tony, nobody wore gloves. Did Joe Namath wear a glove? Nobody. Nobody wore gloves.
No, stop. Absolutely not. Happy anniversary, Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. On this day, 22 years ago, the two future Hall of Famers and now current Emmy-winning analysts on TNT got into a little scuffle. Shaq went to block Barkley's shot when Barkley was playing for Houston. Barkley took umbrage and bounced the ball off Shaq's head. Shaq wasn't having any of that. He threw a wild left at Barkley that, had it landed, might have dented Barkley's skull. Then they tackled each other and they rolled around for a while. Shaq later said, quote, "We went out to dinner afterwards. A lot of people don't know that. He paid," unquote. Great line. The great thing, of course, is they now sit together on the TNT set and they laugh at each other. They're wonderful. Their show is wonderful. The only noticeable change is that they're older and slower and heavier, and we love them.
We do love them. Charles, the line Shaq had and he paid, Charles pays for more dinners. You can call the restaurant 3 hours in advance and say, don't let that dude pay the check. And when you get there, they say, well, you know, Charles thought of that yesterday.
He paid the
Too
check.
Too bad. He paid the check. It's what they do, and we love both of them. We absolutely do for a long time.
Happy trails to Nikola Jokic for one game. The NBA's reigning MVP was suspended one game after shoving Markieff Morris to the floor from behind after Morris dirty fouled Jokic the other night. Morris was fined $50,000 for his foul, and Jimmy Butler was fined $30,000 just for yakking. Jokic will miss Denver's game tonight against Indiana. That's the official NBA response. More interesting is the unofficial family response. Morris's twin brother, Marcus, who plays for the Clippers, basically threatened Jokic the next time those teams meet. In response, Jokic's two brothers opened up a Twitter account named @JokicBrothers, where they tweeted, apparently @MarcusMorris, quote, "You should leave this the way it is. If you want to make a step further, be sure we will be waiting for you," unquote. Nikola Jokic said he did what he did to protect himself, but he also said, and I quote here, "I feel really bad. It's a bad move," unquote.
Tony, I know this is a function of age and culture. I grew up on this NBA, that NBA, so much more physical, where guys fought into the stands. I mean, Norm Van Leer and Jerry Sloan fought into the stands, and they became teammates and loved each other for the rest of their lives. So this is the NBA I grew accustomed to. I loved seeing that the other night. Guilty pleasure. And I wouldn't have fined or suspended anybody. That's just me.
I might have put Jokic down for more than one game. Let's go to the big finish. Sam Darnold, your boy, has a fracture in his throwing shoulder and will miss several weeks. Your thoughts?
I'm afraid he's going to be a footnote, Tone. I mean, chosen third overall, but where's this going with him? It's two teams now. Jets coach, speaking of, Robert Saleh, will start Mike White against the Bills and won't commit to Zach Wilson even when he's healthy. Does that make sense?
That's a direct shot at Jets management.
Wow.
You know, Zach Wilson's the number two overall pick. Saleh better be right. He better be right or find a good way out of this. Man. Tyson Fury's father says his son had surgery on both elbows from injuries suffered before his last fight with Deontay Wilder. Wow.
Both elbows? Are we really buying this? I got to hear more. Jim Bowden says the Yankees have been in contact with the agents for both Corey Seager and Carlos Correa. Is that significant?
They're two wonderful shortstops, and the Dodgers are protected by Trey Turner if Seager leaves. That makes all the sense in the world. Last one, the Atlanta Hawks lost to the Jazz. They've now dropped five straight. Is that a big deal?
It is, Tony, because the East is too good now to drop far behind everybody. There are a lot of good teams in the East, like a dozen of them. You don't want to be going on five-game losing streaks.
We are out of time, and we will try and do better the next time. And I'm Tony Kornheiser.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can see Greeny, Stephen A., Richard Jefferson, and I duke it out on Countdown at 7. Here's SportsCenter.
Bob Friend, thank you very much for yesterday. Lovely course. Enjoyed myself a lot.